So we begin our service, the confirmation of Cassie Bauernfeind and Madison Cooper. Some days, in some ways, it's a very special day for you. You look around here, you see friends and relatives that you haven't seen for a little while. They're here now. And this is a day that your parents have been greatly looking forward to from the day you were baptized until now. So it's a special day in that way. In other ways, it's pretty much the same. Last Sunday, you were worshiping the Lord. This Sunday, you're worshiping Him. And next Sunday, unless Christ comes back first, and if God wills it, you'll be doing the same thing again. What we have today here is not the end of anything. It's only another step along the way. Years ago, your parents brought you to be baptized because they wanted to have the blessing that they have given to you also. And you were baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And they've taught you in your home during all these years. And now suddenly you're changing from children into young adults. And you're going to be branching out on your own more and more and more through life. But what your parents have taught you is nothing new, and it's going to keep continuing. There'll be no change in this. Our prayer is that you have a love for the Word of God that you have now and keep it and meditate upon His Word day and night. So that's not anything that's changing. We see the hand of God in all of this. The Lord chose you as His own before the foundations of the world. And you had nothing to do with that. Neither did I. Nobody did. That was God working on His own. And when you were baptized, the Holy Spirit was involved in the same way. He used your parents as instruments to bring you to the baptism. You didn't crawl up on your own. They brought you. But that was of the Holy Spirit too. And you didn't come here today to be confirmed either. It's all of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that has kept you all these years. And He's the one that will keep you until the very end. So this service today is all to the honor and glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But it is kind of a special day too. We've chosen for you, for your sermon, confirmation sermon, a parable that the Son of God told. It's in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. You've heard this before. It reads this way. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. So there is a treasure here involved. And the treasure is hidden. Very, very few people find it. It's hidden in the field. And in another parable, the Son of God tells us that the field is the world. So the Holy Spirit here today takes us out into something that's quite common in our area, out in the farm field. And a farmer goes out into the field and starts plowing the ground. And Son of God says that the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, which when a man hath found. The oddity is here, though, that the farmer didn't really find the treasure. When he was going out to plow the field, he didn't say, I'm gonna try and find a treasure this month. His object was to plow up the ground and hopefully plant some seeds and gain a harvest at the end of the growing season. When his plow happened to hit something, he probably wasn't very happy about it. Probably thought it was a rock or a stone. And stones are not welcome in farmers' fields. They hinder growth. So he was probably a little bit upset when that happened. But then when he checked things out, he found that there was more than a stone there. There was a treasure. It was hidden in the field. And the treasure, of course, is, as you know, Jesus Christ, hid in a field. When the Son of God was born into the world, very few people knew what would happen, what was happening. It was in Bethlehem at night, in the darkness of night. Joseph and Mary had gone there from Nazareth because they were of the house and lineage of David, and they had to be taxed. So they went to Bethlehem, the city of David, and there was no room for them in the inn. Mary was pregnant at the time, very close to giving birth to a child. But there was no room for them in the inn. Nobody would give up their room. So they went out into a manger. And that's where the Son of God was born. Hardly anybody knew about it. Some shepherds knew about it. But that was a gift from God too. They were out keeping watch over their flock by night. Didn't have the slightest idea what was going to hold up that night, till the angel appeared unto them and said, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be the sign unto you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." So away they went. And they found him. And when they looked into the manger, what they saw with a human eye was a little baby boy. Just like any other human baby born. What they saw with the eye of faith was that it was also, that little baby also was the Almighty Son of God, the eternal Son of God who created all things. They saw that too. It was a treasure like no other treasure ever was, but it was hidden. It was hidden in the world. And it was revealed to the ones to whom God revealed it. Well, this treasure has been revealed to you. And as instruments, he used godly parents. You should be ever thankful for that. That's one of the greatest blessings you can have, is godly parents. And they wanted you to have the treasure just like they have it. And the promise is unto you and to your children. That's the promise. So they revealed this treasure to you. God used them to do it. Now, there's an oddity here as far as the farmer goes, and we mentioned already he wasn't looking for a treasure, but the treasure kind of found him. And yet you can say in the same way, well, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure which is hid in a field, which when a man hath found. Well, he found it, but he didn't. And this is your story and mine. None of us went looking for the treasure. The treasure came looking for us. And the Son of God himself says, "You have not chosen me. I have chosen you." Every move starts with God. Every move. We don't decide anything. He makes the move. And the fact that we keep following his word and are preserved, that's not our own doing either. That's the doing of the Holy Spirit, who not only gave you a rebirth at your baptism, if not maybe even before, but he also preserves you. And that's as important as a rebirth. What good would it do if he gave you a rebirth and then you got killed by a roaring lion like the devil? It wouldn't do you any good. So he preserves you, and that's what's happening here. The treasure is hid, and there's another oddity here. It's hidden twice. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, which when a man hath found, he hideth. So the treasure was hidden twice. First of all, by God, or hid in a field. And then, when the Holy Spirit brought the treasure to the farmer hid it. Why would he hide it? Because he knows he's got enemies that are trying to take it away. That's why. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So you should know that. There are enemies that are going to try to take this treasure away from you. So you should do like the farmer. You hide it. Oh, where do you hide it? You hide it in your heart. The Gospel of John begins this way. In the beginning was the Word. and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that's the story of Bethlehem. So Jesus Christ is the Word, and He comes to you every single day in His book, written by the Holy Spirit, every word of it, the Holy Scriptures. And that's how you hide the Word, the treasure in your heart. You meditate upon the Word of God every single day. Jesus Christ is the treasure. And in Psalm 1 verse 2 we read this about the believer. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. So here, on a day of great rejoicing, it's a happy day, there's also a warning here. A warning. And the warning is this. You have enemies that are trying to take the treasure away. And in order to keep it, you have to hide that treasure in your heart. And that means having a love for the Word of God, and it means meditating upon it every single day. That's what that means. You're young, but you don't know how much time you have left on this earth. None of us knows how much time we have on the earth. Death can strike very quickly, and sometimes it strikes those that are very young. Sometimes those that are very old. But the time you have is not your own. It belongs to God. He's the one that gave you the time that you've got. And you should give first fruits to Him. First fruits of your time. And this is going to get more and more difficult the older you get. Because the older you get, the busier you're going to be. And even when you get to be in your 70s, you're going to be busy. Doesn't seem like you should be, but that's the way the world is. Busy, 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 busy thing. More and more and more things to do. And if you're going to keep the treasure hidden in your heart so the devil can't snatch it away, you have to have priorities. And you have to have a time every day when you spend it with your God in Scripture. And I'm not talking about books about the Bible or pamphlets or booklets or anything like that. I'm talking about the Holy Bible. The Holy Bible is the only book in the world that was written by the Holy Spirit. And it's a love letter for you. And this is what the Holy Spirit uses to keep the treasure hidden in your heart so Satan can't take it away. Now you have to be careful about that. And this is a warning not only for the two of you, it's a warning for us also. If the day comes when the love that we once had grows cold, and if we check our own life and we find out that we're not studying the Word of God from Holy Scripture every day, that is a warning of a very, very serious condition. Because there's a great storm that's going to hit for every one of us. So you've got to pray about that. This day then isn't the end of anything. It's just another step along the way. When the farmer found the treasure hid in the field, and when he hid it in his heart, the next thing is, for joy thereof, he goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth the field. So there's a truth here. And the truth is this. It doesn't cost you anything to have the treasure, Jesus Christ. You couldn't pay for it if it did. It doesn't cost you anything. God gives it to you. The Father gives you the treasure. It doesn't cost you anything. It's a gift. But it will cost you everything you have to keep it. That's the key. It'll cost you everything you have to keep it. And no matter what the price is, and the price of discipleship, by the way, is very high. And Christ doesn't try to hide this. He didn't hide it in fine print. If you want to be my disciple, first thing you have to do is deny yourself, and that goes against every bone in your body. We're selfish by nature. We don't like to do that. That's the first qualification of discipleship. Deny yourself, take up your cross every day, and you will have crosses, and follow me. That's the cost of discipleship. Well, a lot of people don't buy into that, and I can understand why. That's a pretty high price to pay. Well, are we willing to pay it? Well, the farmer was. Nobody had to force him to do this for joy thereof. He gave up everything he had to buy the field. So, the question really gets down to this. What kind of a value do you put on the treasure? That's what the question gets down to. How much is the treasure worth to you? Judas analyzed it and sold the treasure for 30 pieces of silver. That was a tragic decision. But it was easy for him to make because he didn't value the treasure that much. It didn't mean that much to him. How about you and me? Well, the farmer did. He realized that treasure is everything. I'll gladly give up everything I've got in order to have the treasure. And the Son of God says this, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Remember that. Remember that. And that'll happen at the resurrection day. A high price to pay, yes. But it's well worth it. There's a story that was going around several years ago. I don't know if it's true or not. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But it illustrates something. The title of it was, Who Will Buy the Son? And the story was about a family, a young man and a young woman that fell deeply in love with each other, and they got married. They were very, very wealthy. Money was no problem. They had thousands of acres of property. They had a beautiful home they lived in. We would probably call it a castle. And both the husband and wife had a deep interest in art. And they went to a lot of different auctions and stuff, and they bought many, many pictures, originals, by very famous artists. And they had these things displayed in their castle, their home. And people would come and ask if they could see them, and they would give tours because they enjoyed sharing their love of art with other people. And they were thankful for it. But the greatest treasure they had was that God blessed them with a son. And so the family was very happy, and that went on for a while. But there's an old saying, it's in our Lutheran hymn book, time passes, and much change doth bring, and sets a bound to everything. And with the passage of time, things changed with this family. Very suddenly one day, and very unexpectedly, the sword of death flashed, and the mother of the son, the wife of the husband, died. So she was gone. That left the father and the son. Time passed, and more change took place. The son was old enough to be drafted in the army and went to fight in a battle thousands of miles away. So the Father and the Son were now separated by thousands of miles. One day, the phone rang. Time passes and much change doth bring. There's a government official on the other end informing the man that his son had been killed in battle. So now he was living alone. Not too long later, one day there was a knock on his door. He opened it up and a young man was standing there, and he had a wrapped gift in his hands. And he said to the man, "You don't know who I am, but I know who you are. Because I knew your son. And your son talked about you very much and the love you had for art. And I was with your son the day that he died. In fact, he died saving my life. I was wounded out on the battlefield, and your son was the one that came out to help me. And he was carrying me to safety when he lost his own life. What I've done is paint a picture of your son. I'm not a good artist, but I have a little bit of ability in there. And I have a love for your son, so I painted a portrait of him, and I wanted you to have it." So he gave it to the father. The father opened it up and looked and was struck by the resemblance that this man had put on canvas of his son. And he just loved it. And he said to the young man that painted the picture, "Look, I'm very wealthy. I'd like to give you a lot of money for this picture." And the man said, "No, I won't take anything from it. Your son gave his life for me, and this is the least I can do." So the man took the picture, walked into his beautiful home, and he placed the picture in a very prominent place, right above the mantle of his fireplace. So the first thing you saw when you walked in the door was the picture of the son. And every time somebody would come to ask the man if he would give them a tour of their famous pictures, he would say, "Yeah, and we'll start right here. Here is the picture of my son." And then he would go around the house showing him the rest of the pictures. Well, time passes and much change doth bring, and sets a bound to everything. And so the day inevitably came when the man died also. But he left behind a will. And one of the things in the will was that there should be an auction, and people should be invited to bid on these pictures, these very expensive pictures that him and his wife had gathered together during a lifetime. So the day of the auction was set, and people came, very wealthy people, some from different parts of the world. There was a big crowd gathered, and they came in hopes of being able to purchase one of these original paintings from these famous artists. So the auctioneer walked up on stage, took his gavel, and hit the table and said, "Okay, the auction is about to begin." And he had all these pictures on this great big stage. He walked over to the picture of his son. And he brought the picture up and he said, "Okay, we're going to start the auction right here. Who will buy the son?" Nobody answered. Is the speaker system working? Who will buy the son? Nobody answered. They didn't want him. One guy finally said, "Look, we didn't come here to buy a picture painted by an amateur. We came here to buy a picture from famous artists, so forget about the picture of the son, and let's start auctioning off the other pictures." And the auctioneer said, "I can't do that. There was a stipulation in the will, and the stipulation was the first picture that is sold has to be the picture of my son. So I've got to sell the son first. Otherwise, you can't have an auction." who will buy the Son? Silence. Then finally there was a voice from the back of the room. A gardener was back there. He had worked for the man during his lifetime, most of it. Got to know the Son. Was a very close friend of the Son and loved him. And he said, I love the Son, and I would love to have the picture, but I'm very poor. And I know the picture is worth a lot more than what I can bid, but I'm going to make my bid. I bid $10. So the auctioneer said, fine, now we have a bid. Have a bid for $10 for the Son. Who will pay $20 for the Son? Silence. This is your last chance. Who will bid some more for the Son? Silence. So the auctioneer said, okay, going once, going twice, sold. The Son, picture of the Son is sold to the gardener for $10. So the gardener went up, took the picture, turned around, started walking off the stage, and the auctioneer said, wait, one more thing. He took his gavel, hit the table, and said, the auction is now over. And people were angry. What do you mean? We came hundreds of miles here to buy these pictures, and then you haven't even given us a chance at one of them. What do you mean the auction's over? And the man said, well, there were two stipulations in the will that the father made. The first stipulation was that the first picture that's sold has to be the picture of the Son. The second stipulation was that whoever buys the Son gets the whole inheritance. Along with the Son come all these other famous pictures, all of the property. Everything I own belongs to the one who bought the Son. Well, that picture is true. The Father loves the Son. And if you have the Son, you've got everything. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things shall be added unto you.